Morning, everyone, and welcome to the At Large IDN Working Group meeting. We have four agenda items today, and to run us through it, I'll just hand over to my co-chair, Edmund Cheung. Edmund?
Thank you, Inalia, for a very short introduction. Okay, so I guess sorry, I'm trying to bring this closer. So the main two items, I guess, that is current on the policy discussions here is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs and, of course, the ongoing project for the root zone label generation rules project. I'll, if it's okay, I'll keep referring it to LGR from now. But it's basically the variant, IDN variant issue. I'll talk a little bit more on each of them as we go through, but we're going through those, and then some emerging issues, and then the a change in co-chair. My co-chair has been promoted, which is a good thing, I guess.
Elected.
Yes, elected to the board, and will be leaving us, but obviously I'm sure she'll continue to pay attention to what's happening here. So any other items people want to bring up before I proceed? And thank you for Samad and others from the ICANN team to join. I see that Ed Lewis, you're online on the Adobe chat. I wonder if you're able to speak to us as well, because the first item. Thank you, Gisela, for checking first. But I guess to get start off with, let's the first item is on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Shortly before this meeting, I sent a note to the working group to with a slightly more fleshed out agenda. I'm trying to get to that myself. Yes. So on that particular topic, just as a very general description of it, what it means is that certain top-level domains, especially IDN top-level domains and IDN's internationalized domain names in general, certain applications, browsers, email clients, email servers, systems are unable to handle IDNs in general and some other TLDs. So that's the overall issue. We had a pretty lengthy presentation last time in London, so I won't repeat all the issues there. But I just sent a link to the Adobe chat room, which is the presentation that was held was back in London last time. So for those interested, you can check that and about the background. So I won't go deeply into that. Instead of that, I'll go jump right into, I guess, the discussion of the few things. The current sort of situation, a joint report was developed by the joint IDN working group between the CCNSO and GNSO. There was a final report on the issue of universal acceptance that is passed to the board, ICANN board, early this year, actually, about January or February this year, it was passed to the board. The board has not had the time to consider it yet, but after a number of urgence from myself and from the community, I guess it seems like they hear us, and Ram and others on the board have in earlier interactions here indicated that they will take on considering the report and making a response on that. That being said, there is a staff team has already started working on a universal acceptance project roadmap, and the JIG report was referenced. So it's not like that. There is no activity at all. I think this is a very important issue, and a very important issue for ALAC as well. This I believe, touches very much on consumer trust of the DNS overall, especially on IDNs and IDN TLDs. So with that, I wonder if Ed Lewis, wonder if you are able... Oh, okay. So actually, Francisco will help us cover that. So perhaps you can give us a little bit of update on the Universal Acceptance Project roadmap, and then we'll go into discussion of kind of the what next from the community.
Sure. excuse me. Thank you, Edmond. This is Francisco Arias, Director of Technical Services within the Global Domain Divisions at ICANN. My team is working on the Universal Acceptance Initiative. We have a session this afternoon at 4:30 in which we are going to cover the topic in more detail. But a brief update on where we are now. The first thing we started to do is define what the problem is that we're trying to solve here. When talking with people a few months ago, they had different ideas of what universal acceptance meant. So we developed a roadmap that is a very short document, a high-level document describing what is the objective. And in that, after going through public comment on the first draft of the roadmap, we got to the conclusion that there are three things that the community would like the universal acceptance topic to cover. First is the acceptance or the support for all TLDs in applications and services in the internet. This is both ASCII and IDNs TLDs. The second topic that the community wanted the universal acceptance initiative to cover is the support for IDNs in applications and services, IDNs at all levels, not just at the TLD level. And the last item that was requested by the community that to be part of this initiative is support for internationalized email, which is a new protocol that was developed by the ITF a couple years ago that has not yet gained too much deployment within the big providers. I guess the first one that we know of was Gmail that announced support, or I should say partial support for internationalized email just this summer. And they are, as I said, the first one to have such a big announcement for support of this technology. So what we're now that we have this roadmap that is published in the Universal Acceptance section of the ICANN website, we have a new section in the website with the materials, and we intend to add more as we have them available. The next set of actions is we're doing in parallel. On one side, we are working on developing a communications plan that will help us define the details of the strategy to reach out to the seven groups of stakeholders we identified in the draft roadmap from with input from the community, mainly, obviously, the software vendors, which are probably the most interesting stakeholder there to get their attention to help us solve these issues. The other thing we're doing in parallel is we continue to engage with software vendors, particularly with the browsers. You may have seen that Google, for example, in the Chrome browser, they did adjustments, and now their release a schedule allows for recognition of new TLDs within 6 weeks approximately. From one version to another, they recognize the new TLD. We generated a report, a CSV report, that we update several times a day. That includes the TLDs as they sign an agreement and as they are delegated in the root. This is to help the certification authorities and the browsers to be able to recognize these new TLDs. This is also now fed into the public suffix list that Mozilla maintains and that most of the browsers use to recognize, among other things, to recognize new TLDs. In the same venue, Mozilla also improved the mechanism in which they recognize new TLDs. We haven't had such luck with other browsers that we are in contact. The other thing we are doing is, since we are planning to launch this communications campaign to different stakeholders, and particularly to the software and internet service providers, the one thing we realize is we need to lead by example. If we're going to ask software vendors to update their software to support universal acceptance, we probably should start by doing that ourselves. So we're starting that exercise within ICANN, and we're asking the contract parties, the registries and registrars, to join that effort and update their systems to support universal acceptance, to support all TLDs, support IDNs, and international email. We have been making these presentations to registries and registrars, and we have had some interesting interactions with them. And in what refers to ICANN, what we have done so far is we're working on updating the... we have a template for a contractor registry agreement. That's for anyone that we contract to do work for ICANN. And in that, we, just as we had before an IPv6 section, we still have, we plan to add universal acceptance section saying that a software that is developed for ICANN has to support these three things, TLDs, IDNs, and internationalized email. So we hope to have that ready soon. That will allow us to have that support for upcoming applications. And we're also, I have been talking with Ashwin, our ICANN CIO, and he directed me to work with one of his direct reports on developing a plan to update the already existing applications, so we in ICANN also implement that support on those already existing applications. I think that those are the main points in regards to the Universal Acceptance Initiative.
thank you, Francisco. Any questions from... okay, Dev?
Thank you, Devan Antilak Singh speaking. A question, what about things such as email within ICANN? Does ICANN can accept IDNs, emails from IDN domains and so forth, and exchange emails? I'm just wondering, because you talked about browsers, but maybe I missed it. I didn't hear about email clients.
Yeah, internationalized email is the third element of universal acceptance. So it's all support for all TLDs, support for IDNs, and third is support for internationalized email. Internationalized email, I'm not going to... I have to be honest here. That's the most challenging by far of the three technologies. There is almost no support for this. So I think it will take several years before we see some serious support for this technology. And here is where we need the help from the community to request this from the different providers so that they feel the need, they feel the demand, and they then have a business case to do this. That's why we're asking the registries and registrars to offer this support in their systems so that their providers feel the demand for this technology so that they work on this.
Thank you, Francisco. Satish?
Thank you, Satish Babu, for the record. Forgive this ignorant kind of a question. Is there an underlying standard that the software vendors can adopt so that there is no variation between them, for at least for the internationalized email?
Edmund here. So the short answer is yes. Of course, the standards are publishes SRFC at this point for the protocol. There's still some discussions about maturing them, so potentially they, as we go into broader implementation, there may be some adjustments. But the short answer, therefore, is yes. There are a baseline standard that is published as RFC. So I guess on that, and adding, I probably should have said that before I opened the questions. But it's very encouraging to hear of the work at ICANN, and you know, I guess from the community, we've been urging for this for a few for some time, and it's very encouraging the development and the communications plan, the work within the ICANN systems, and you know, connecting with the registries and registrars, and you know, getting our own act together. That's kind of how I describe it. That has to be the first thing to do. On that, though, I wonder, because one of the things about universal acceptance is, personally, I have been working on at different stages in on the issue, and it's often more extensive than it was once thought, than you know, initially thought by both the technology technical team and you know technical leads. They originally start to think that it's we fix here and in there, but actually the more it's kind of going down the rabbit hole issue. But on that, I wonder if ICANN has. Because what is going to be very useful may be better documenting the process that ICANN is as ICANN is going through its own implementation. You mentioned a few points and areas of coordination from policy from all the way to technology. Are there plans for documenting the process? And I guess if not, then that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, thank you for the suggestion, Edmund. We are just starting that effort, so I think it's the right time for this suggestion. Thank you.
I guess with that, any more clarification? I'm not moving away from this particular topic. I want to move into a discussion on how perhaps the community can work together to support that work. But before that, any more clarification questions on Jean-Jacques?
Thank you, Edmund. This is Jean-Jacques. Just to complete the discussion you just had now, wouldn't this become an action item? About documenting,
right. So that Edmund here again. So that moves into the discussion on what we should do, I guess, in the community. The first question is whether that there's a needs to be an action item for us to remind you, or you've heard us and you would take that into consideration. But a larger question I want to ask is to think about. I actually asked this question back in London as well. Is it the right time for the community, again, from a bottom-up perspective, to work together and form perhaps a cross-community working group to support the staff work on this? And if we think that is the case, then perhaps this is the right place to get it started. And we need to get, you know, it would be great to get these GNSO and CCNSO and other ACs involved as well. I've had the opportunity to speak to some of the GAC members, and they think it's a very, very important issue for them as well. So I think this may be a good timing for something like this to happen. And that group could then, you know, also work with ICANN to better document not only the ICANN implementation, but also hopefully, you know, if GoDaddy decides to be willing to do it, then also document that into some kind of best practices, which we can then take to the broader technical community as we advocate universal acceptance. Any thoughts, or Satish?
Satish, for the record, I'd like to draw your attention to the one of the recommendations of the ELAC, the ELAC's recommendation, the statement. The point number four says the ELAC recommends the creation of an intermediate term cross-community mechanism that not only provides facilitation for stakeholder interactions, but also allows for organizational retention of issues as well as learning, acting as a knowledge base for all aspects of universal acceptance. So I think this is pretty much in line with what you just said.
Thank you. Yes, that's. I think that's the direction we need to go, and that will equip both the community and ICANN as we outreach to the broader internet technical community. I think the. I guess kind of a question to staff as well is, you know, is the timing kind of okay? Should we wait for a while for more to try to convene this group, and how do you see the potential interaction if a group is being formed?
So on this is Francisco from ICANN staff. Working in this project, one of the things that we quickly realized is that it will be far too ambitious for ICANN to think that we can solve the problem by ourselves. This is such a big problem that we need the coordination with all the parties interested in the community to make this happen. So we will be more than happy to work with any organization, and as we have been in contact with other organizations like the DNA, APTLD, and others that are interested in this topic. So we will be more than happy to coordinate efforts in regards to universal acceptance.
Thank you, Francisco. Any comments or thoughts? Rinalia.
Thank you. Rinalia speaking. So what I'm hearing is general agreement that a cross-community working group is a good mechanism for the community to take this issue forward, acknowledging what Francisco just said. There are a lot of assets and resources in terms of people and network within the community that could support staff effort and also to help them coordinate further. So I only see value adding at this point in time. The only question that I have in terms of if we initiate this, do we bring it back to the ALAC? And there's also a question for Olivier, who currently chairs the ALAC itself, and how do we move it forward? Because this is coming up from the at-large IDN working group.
Edmir, just adding to that question, really, how should we initiate that and then initiate a cross-community working group? Because ALAC on its own, again, nobody on its own would be able to do this, but, you know, cross-community, how do you see that? Olivier.
Thank you very much, Edmund. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And the process is as follows. The working group would make a request to the ALAC for creating a cross-community working group, or at least proposing that a cross-community working group be built. And the ALAC chair would get in touch with the other chairs of supporting organizations and advisory committees. There is a specific list that is in place, and propose the creation of a cross-community working group. That's one way. The other way is for you to go and so for the working group members or the chair of the working group to go and engage with members of other like-minded members in other supporting organizations and advisory committees, come together and send a joint letter or a joint request for this working group to be created. The concern with the cross-community working groups is that there's a lot of red tape that is associated with them. It might take a few months for a charter to be drafted and all of this. So the if you have work that needs to be dealt with very quickly, I would suggest going the informal route and then basically saying, well, look, we're already working together informally. Let's get what we're doing to be part of a cross-community working group. So these are the two ways. The first way, as I said, going via the SONAC chairs might take a while, because, as you know, there's so many other things that are taking place at ICANN. They might say, that's another headache, we don't have time for that. The second way might give it more weight.
Thank you, Olivier. So we have a proliferation of these cross-community initiatives. I very much agree with the kind of the lay of the land, if you will. But I do think that perhaps, you know, we can try to do it in parallel. I think eventually, if it's formally developed, one of the key stakeholder groups that I think this activity would get really good use for is from the GAC. I think if governments pay attention to this, just like if ICANN, like ICANN, as they do their requirements for suppliers, add this as one of the requirements. You know, IPv6. I keep referring back to IPv6. It was one of the best things when governments require their contractors to be IPv6 ready. You know, the same can be implemented for universal acceptance. That would be, you know, that would really push it much further than this community alone can. So that's and my general perception about engaging GAC in that way is it's probably, you know, they have their own processes, and it might be a good it might be better to have a formal kind of path as well, but that doesn't bar us from speaking to individual GAC members and making sure, you know, getting their interests and getting it things started. Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much, Edmund. It's Olivier speaking. Definitely, with regards to GAC, with all the protocols that are involved in GAC, if you just go to the GAC chair and ask for the GAC chair to take a position forward without actually, and even as a chair of the ALAC, like if I go to the GAC chair and say, our community is interested in a cross-community working group on this topic, the GAC chair has, with more than 100 countries in front of them, has no idea whether there is interest or not in that topic, except if it is a topic that they've already discussed. And I believe that IDNs are not a topic that's been widely discussed in some of the recent GAC meetings. So having those member countries that are interested in taking part into such a group and go over to the GAC chair and in parallel, if you want, with you, express their interest in the topic is definitely going to speed things up.
Thank you, Olivier. Looking at the time, we probably need to move to the next topic. I wanted to take action item on this, but I'll leave it to the end and the next steps. It seems like there is a pretty good idea of what the direction might be. We should try to form a probably a scope and start writing up some of this and kind of socializing it with the other SOs and ACs. So that brings me to the next topic, which is the LGR, the Label Generation Rules project, which is really the IDN variant TLD project. I've not asked for any particular, we've not asked for any update presentation from staff. We just had a session earlier today at the tent. But I guess I'll hand it off first to Samad if you wanted to highlight some of the status here, and then we'll jump right into discussing what from the community any further steps.
Thank you, Edmund. This is Samad Hussain from ICANN staff. I'm actually going to focus on a couple of, after giving a quick overview, I'll focus on a couple of items which are specifically of interest, especially in the context of community involvement, and I want to highlight those, and then I guess I will also take any questions. As far as the IDN TLD program is concerned, one of the main things we are actually doing is going through a slight rebranding process of the project. So we are not calling it IDN Variants Program anymore. There are a couple of motivations behind that. One of the main motivation behind that is that the work which we are taking undertaking through this program is equally applicable to scripts which may not have variants. So zero variant is also a legitimate case to take care of. So one of the focus areas we have is actually a new communication plan, which is trying to reorient it as an IDN TLD program rather than an IDN variant program for that reason. In the program, we have multiple projects going on. Historically, over the last 3 to 4 years, this problem was investigated by the community, and based on the issues reports which were done, the community defined a specific process going forward. The specific process required community groups to come together for each script and devise proposals which should be given to independent panel of experts called Integration Panel, which ICANN is now maintaining. And the Integration Panel would work on the individual script proposals and integrate them into a single larger set, which is referred to as the LGR or Label Generation Rule Set for the root zone. The process has been put into play since last mid of last year. Integration panel was set up. Call for generation panels has gone out. And integration panel has done their homework as specified by the procedure laid out for them to and defined what is called the maximal starting repertoire, which was released, first part of it was released in June of this year, which contained 22 scripts. They are working on 6 remaining scripts, which they think should be included in MSR as well, which will be released end of this year. So end of this year, MSR will be completed as a starting point for LG generation panels, the community-based panels, to start their work. In parallel, the generation panels are also coming together, and I'd like to spend a little more time on sharing a bit more detail on where each script community is, and this is these are detailed we've not shared across in the previous presentations, but I think it's relevant to bring it up in the context of ALAC. So as far as the generation panel work is concerned, we've already shared that Arabic, we have 2 generation panels which are already formally seated and working. The first one to get formalized was Arabic earlier this year, and recently in September, Chinese generation panel has also been formally seated. And both generation panels are continuing their work, aiming to finalize their proposals and submit to integration panel through ICANN towards the beginning of next year. In addition to that, Korean generation panel has been active. They have a structure, meaning they have a chair they have elected and membership sufficient to go forward, and currently they are working on the proposal to submit. But before they do the proposal, their discussion has been on whether to include or not include Han script within their proposal. So that's a question they are currently debating before moving on into a formal proposal development process. We heard in the morning from Japanese community, where Japanese chair was announced that the Japanese panel has also been formed within Japan. It's not started formally communicating with the ICANN at this time, but they said they will follow up very soon. There are 7 members in that panel, and they've already had 3 meetings starting from August in Japan, and they're working on a proposal, and they intend to get together with contact ICANN very soon, and we will also follow up with them. Beyond that, we actually have been reaching out actively to communities, because at this time the focus of the program is to get as many community panels together as possible so that we can start the work and get the LGR together as soon and as quickly as possible. The Neo-Brahmi script panel has already been working. They've been busy doing work at second level, as was shared in earlier presentation today by Nishit Jain, for many of the languages and scripts of India, for their own IDNC CTLDs. And they said that they will carry their learning for the second level work they've done towards the top level. Obviously, top level having more constraints, which they are cognizant about. And they aim to perhaps develop a panel and submit a proposal towards mid-November. That's what Nishit had shared with us earlier in the day today. We've also reached out to Cyrillic and Latin communities before coming to ICANN meeting in LA, and we've had two informal meetings, one for each panel at ICANN LA, where a call was sent, a call for interest and participation was sent on VIP lists and other lists which are relevant, and people got together on Monday for Latin script, and there were some initial discussions on what the challenges of Latin script are. And I think the starting point is also to determine what the leadership for these panels is. So Latin script meeting was held. We have now some follow-up steps which we will undertake, initial one being starting and getting these people on an email list to start the discussions. We had a very successful Cyrillic generation panel meeting yesterday. We had people representing seven different countries and languages attend that meeting. There were about 20-25 participants, and they've already selected a chair, and that's moving forward as well. And we've made some initial inroads into Sinhala script for in Sri Lanka, Myanmar. We've identified an in group to start the work. Tibetan, we've made some initial contacts in Bhutan. And Khmer, we've made some initial contacts in Cambodia. So we are moving ahead, but these later panels are more informative stages than others are. I will also take one more minute and point towards another project which we are now embarking on, which is the label generation rule set builder. It's a tool we are developing because the submission for generation panels is in a very complex format, which are the specifications for LGR. And what we are doing is developing requirements to eventually build an open source tool which will enable community to have a simpler user interface to input data to develop an LGR automatically without too many errors and facilitate the process. We are documenting the requirements, and we will actually be releasing the requirements for this tool publicly for feedback, for public comment in coming weeks. And we would request ALAC, at large communities to actually get involved, both for volunteering for these panels and also to please provide us feedback from the perspective of generation panels as well as community on the kind of requirements you need for this tool which is coming out. Give us feedback on the requirements, and we'll incorporate that feedback as we go into the development of this tool. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, very, very encouraging development. I think Chinese, Japanese, Korean, CJK, it seems Arabic, the Sino-Asian languages are also starting to have some movement, Indic languages, and Latin, Greek, Cyrillic. That's very exciting. So I guess two main points I wanted to bring up and perhaps open some discussion. One, the first one is the outreach efforts. Are there any kind of blind spots that perhaps the ALAC community can help with some of the outreach? The second item, I think it's even more important, and hopefully others can join in, is as we build all these groups, because they seem to be in a good way mushrooming, do we have enough administrative support to support these groups? Because that's also very important. In the GNSO and the ELAC, we have very good staff support, and I'm not sure. I'm curious of what the makeup of in the IDN group does. It draw from ALAC or GNSO, that I think the administrative work would increase quite significantly. So, I guess, yeah. So Samad, and then I open. Samad and then Jean-Jacques.
Okay, so as far as the communities, first question is concerned, which communities we need to reach out where we do not have a reach so far. Specifically, we would like people from Lao, Ethiopic, Georgian, Thana, which is Maldives, Thai, and in the list we also have Hebrew and Armenian, but we've actually already been able to reach out to these communities at ICANN 51. But I can provide this list to you offline as well, so that if there is specific interest available here, which can people who can contribute, I think that would be great to start out. So that was the first. As far as the second question is concerned, we do realize that as we grow in our process to give support to many of these groups, the administrative requirements will increase, and we are already discussing that within our management structure. And I think at this time it is still under control. And what we've actually decided is we'll take it for next 3 to 4 months, and we will revisit this the situation after about 3 to 4 months and see where we are. And based on that, we will seek what other possibilities there are as far as additional support is concerned.
Thank you so much. Jean-Jacques?
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Subrenard. I'd like to underline the importance of what you, Edmund, have just said about staff support. I think that through my very short experience with the CJK group, what I found is that there's really, first, a linguistic preoccupation and terrific expertise. But then, as a former member of the board, as a member of the ALAC now, etc., what I noticed is that there seems to be a misfit between that huge expertise and then simply translating it into practical stuff. And, for instance, I was puzzled that for the 2 or 3 sessions online I had, teleconferences with the Japanese or Chinese group, it was going all over the place, and we didn't know who was taking notes, etc. It's very simple stuff. It just has to be done, and it has to be clearly stated right from the outset who does what. And for instance, the time zones for the phone calls, things like that. We got things which were noted in Hong Kong time. You know, not everyone knows what Hong Kong time. It's very simple stuff. So staff has to give support for that, because I think that the people, the chairs, the linguistic chairs, as it were, not all of them manage banks, you know.
Thank you, Josh. Manage banks. Okay. Is that the... Okay.
Bench.
Thank you for the input. And so I guess back to Samad, I guess the community, I am actually not sure what we need to do, but I think the community thinks you probably need a little bit more support as we go forward. And drawing, I know ALAC and GNSO staff is already have the plates full, but if we can draw on some of that expertise, because a lot of the working groups work very well, you know, that might be useful, Jean-Jacques.
I'm sorry, I forgot to use, this is Jean-Jacques, I forgot to use the word hands-on. I think that considering the nature of these discussions, what is really useful and what I've found throughout the years in other groups is that the staff should be welcome to actually deal hands-on with this in the organizational part of each of the meetings, the note-taking, the distribution of notes, etc.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. And CCNSO is a good model for that. The staff actually helps take the pen on some of the issues as well. Did I see a hand from... No, okay.
Many...
Renalia.
Thank you, Renalia speaking. Just to say that I believe Sarmat and his team are well aware of the support needs of the emerging LGR panels in the different languages, language scripts. Basically, it's an issue of resource allocation, making sure that the resources are available. They have tabled it to the board variants working group. It is something that is being worked on. And the emphasis is that there is recognition that the community needs this support and it needs to be available and has to follow through the process. Thanks.
Thank you, Rinalia, and thank you for the insight from the board working group as well. And that will be very valuable even as you transition to the board. So with that, we're kind of running out of time. I'll touch a little bit on the emerging issues. There isn't much to talk about at this point. The who is and the contact information internationalization process is ongoing. There are a couple of working groups that are working on it. Not any concrete proposals at this point. So I think we'll come back to that later. That brings me to two things before we wrap up. One is, of course, the selection of the working group co-chair. As mentioned, Rinalia, moving to the board, and some next steps. I wanted to touch on the next steps a little bit. First of all, I hear that the board working group is already looking at the staffing and resource issue. I guess there isn't any next steps yet, but I guess if there's anything the community can draw the attention and try to get more resource from you, please take let us know. In terms of the language communities, I think we'll try to use our network of ALSs and send it out to the ALSs and ask for whether those languages that you mentioned will spread that news for you. In terms of the universal acceptance, I think I guess this group should try to work on maybe a parameter of what a working group might look at and start socializing it with other SOs and ACs. That brings me to the last item before we close, which is the selection of the working group co-chair. And we had a discussion on the mailing list a little bit before that, and I think Satish was put forward as the candidate, and personally, I don't know what the seconding process is, but I'm very supportive of that. And Cheryl put forward that nomination. So I guess the question is whether there are any discussions or thoughts around that, or others want to weigh in. Or objections, or if Satish, you would... there is a discussion. Sirenish.
Sirenish Vardanyan, for the record. Actually, it's not discussion. It's just we had consensus for Satish's candidacy, and we just really recommend his candidacy for this working group and very much support of him.
Thank you, Sirenish. With that, I think we can do two things at one time. One, to thank Rinalia for your efforts throughout the last few years to co-chair this group, and then to welcome Satish to be the co-chair with a round of applause. With that, it's exactly 12:30. I hope no more other issues. I'm not going to take it anyway. So, thank you, everyone, for joining. This is the end of this working group session.